Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 28, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made the choice for Yeshua, make the choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like
Dublin, Ireland,
Jeddah,
Saudi Arabia, Dakar,
Senegal,
Stockholm, Sweden,
Nuremberg,
Germany.
Stop.
And, of course, the good old USA.
Before we go any further, what do you know about Nuremberg, Germany?
I don't know much about Germany.
Don't know much about. That's where, after World War II, they had the trials of the Nazis and hung the Nazis for war crimes.
Oh.
Okay. And what cities in the United States?
Austin, Texas, San Francisco, California, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Well, that was a, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Nashville, Tennessee, and Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio program.
Well,
next podcast later tonight.
Yeah, you're getting better at that. You get to show a little more enthusiasm. Okay.
Mom always said practice makes perfect.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, follow and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, Father, I just pray tonight radio goes according to your will, not ours, Father. And we ask that you give everyone ears in which to be able to hear, lift the veil from them. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, Matthew 24:37-39, King James Version says, read that.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And he knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay. And by the way, this is my lovely wife, Linda, I have on with me, of course, tonight. Anyway, so what was going on during the time of Noah? We can find that out by going further and reading in Genesis chapter 6.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Yahweh saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair, and they took them as wives and of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall be always strive with men.
Shall not
always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were also giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yahweh came into in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was the first just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with Yahweh. And Noah begat the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before Yahweh, and the earth was filled with violence. And Yahweh looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Yahweh said unto Noah, to the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Okay, so here we have Yeshua saying, first you read from Yeshua, and Yeshua said that it would be as in the days of Noah, when his return was. And so looking into it, so what do we see? What are some of these factors that you just read? What's going on in the world then?
Basically, around the same things that are going on now, people acting on every thought that they had, whether it was an abomination or not, having sex with animals, having sex, man with men, women with women, threesome sex, all the abominational things, transgender, all that stuff.
Okay. So the first factor, I'll make it short, fallen angels rebelled, coming down and mated with human beings in all manner of flesh. That's bestiality and everything. That's why Yahweh, when it destroyed everything,
right?
You know, not even just the humans. And I said, and I also believe that Satan was extremely in on this, because if he could come down with the angels and corrupt the DNA of man, then Yeshua couldn't come, because Yeshua had to come from a pure seed.
Right.
Right, which was Yahweh and a human being. Well, if we backtrack a little bit, you know, we find that part of the reason that Noah was indeed blessed, because it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with Yahweh. But here we have it. He was perfect in his generations. There was no corrupt seed. And so that had to be that bloodline. And that's a real good thing. If you folks haven't ever studied about the bloodline of Yeshua, you really should. Anyway, so the bloodline had to be, could go unchecked. So some of the things that I wrote down here that I'm pointing out was, like you said, violence was unchecked. Now look at it today. You know, we had another shooting just before we came on the air. Somebody took a shotgun and blew out the window of a newspaper office and started shooting people. You know, violence is at a level that is just unprecedented in this country, especially that we can see it close with. You know, it's one thing to disagree with a politician. It's another thing to stalk them and all the hate rhetoric and talk about executing our politicians and all that. That's not what America is supposed to be. But this, so you have this crazy anger and violence that's in the world. Anything really anti-God is what the fallen angels are about. Scientists, though, now I'm going to a place with this, but science are trying to say that now you know that, you know, they find these what they call Neanderthals, right? You know what I mean? The old man that supposedly that we evolved from, but yet there's a missing link. You know what I'm talking about? The Neanderthals with the funny-looking heads?
No, I don't.
That used to be apes? Come on, didn't they ever try to teach you evolution in school?
Well, I know evolution, but yeah. But
well, the last man is one that's called a Neanderthal. He's got a bigger head, has a bigger brain, and, you know, now that they've been doing DNA testing, right? Now you can get your DNA tested and tell where all you came from in the world, right?
So where did they find Neanderthals at?
Oh, they've always found Neanderthals, but they've never found the missing link from Neanderthals to human beings.
So I'm just curious, where did they find the Neanderthals in the South? In Israel? In Egypt? Where?
Actually all over the world. Oh. There are human beings that have Neanderthal DNA in them.
Oh.
And that's what we're calling it. But a lot of people think, like I think, that, you know, so where did this DNA come from? Because it's not particular to human beings. You cannot, it's not in it wouldn't be a separate DNA if, in fact, that we evolved from that DNA. But this DNA is not in all humans. It's in some humans. So a lot of people believe that the DNA that they're finding, this Neanderthal DNA, has something to do with the Nephilim, you know, that it's still traces of it, or the fallen angels, which really does make sense. And these fallen ones are, and so let's look out here, like you said. Now, let's talk about sex for a second here. You know, what did you say about sex?
It's crazy. Everybody wants to act on every stupid idea that even flows to their head. They want to go have sex with animals, sex with men with men, women with women, threesomes, foursomes, orgies, all that stuff is all abominable.
Right. It's not normal.
No, it's not normal.
Okay. So originally where all this thing came from was and if you can read it and why it talks about it some in the Bible, but it talks about in the other books like the Book of Jubilees and the Book of Enoch and others, that the fallen angels taught men the corrupt things, mm-hmm. you know, and especially we know that the fallen angels had, that was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't just that they were having sex men on men, but they were also having bestiality and everything else. And this is also the same thing. And so that's even why Yahweh, remember, as you read how did you feel the first time that you read the Bible, you know, and Yahweh says, now, when you go into land, make sure you slaughter men, women, children, everything. Was that kind of upsetting?
Very upsetting. How could God do that? Kill little children?
But it all boils back down to this. The Canaanites had the DNA of the fallen ones in them.
Right.
And that's where they, you know, remember what happened when they sent spies in the land. When did they come back? When they came back from the promised land, they said they saw what? Giants. You don't remember the story? Remember they came back with the grapes that were big as basketballs?
Oh, yeah.
And all of them gave a bad report except for Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go down and destroy these giants. But the other guys were saying, man, these giants are big and tall. We're like grasshoppers to these giants, you know? And so you also have David and Goliath. Goliath was also an Nephilim, you know, or an offspring of an Nephilim and a human being. So the traces are all through the Bible of them being there. And so the reason that Yahweh said slaughter them all, because he didn't want to
want their lineage to carry on.
Right.
Genocide right there.
Right. Yeah, that's what he wanted. He wanted genocide. But the reason that it still shows up, so much for my coffee, but the reason that it still shows up is because we even know from the Bible that they fell down and they didn't always slaughter everybody like they were supposed to do. So the point is, so it's still around. So anyway, they're finding that. So now that brings me to another story that I want to share with you. Okay, what do you think about robots?
They're kind of scary, really.
Yeah, well,
because they're making robot everything, robot vacuum cleaners, robot, and what's this Alexa thing that people put in their house that runs their life? Alexa, make some coffee. Alexa, do I need to go to the store? Alexa, what's that all about?
Well, do you know that even the creators of robots and what you call, look for the letters. If you see capital letters AI, that means artificial intelligence. So whenever you're reading something and you see AI, capital letters, it's talking about artificial intelligence. Now, artificial intelligence is basically a computer that they program to think. And you know, the very creators of these things, like the richest guy in the world, Elon Musk, is all warning that robots at some point will become uncontrollable, just like they did in the Terminator. In fact, they would start replicating themselves, just like they did in Terminator, but they already do that. They've already set robots up where they have a net where they can interact with each other, and they do replicate themselves. So having said that, though, they still don't have the capacity to think completely yet. But even the creators are giving the warning. So let's see what
If they're giving the warning, why are they not stopping it before it gets started?
Because that's just the way of things. Okay, but let me read you this, and then we'll talk some more. Okay, Frankenstein, and I'll tie this in with the Nephilim. Frankenstein's cyborg crabs. Artificial intelligence researchers are putting Neanderthal brains into robots. Now, we just talked about Neanderthals, and there's a strong possibility that the Neanderthal genes are, in fact, from these Nephilim. Okay? Now, keep that in mind. But even if it wasn't, this would still be crazy. But anyway, Neanderthal brains into robots. Okay. Frankenstein is a timeless story of reanimating a dead body through the use of technology. And now a team of researchers in the United States seems to be walking in the footsteps of Mary Shelley's creation with a new experiment. Mary Shelley is the one that authored the book Frankenstein. Okay. Teams at the University of California, San Diego, are experimenting with lumps of tissue taken from fossil bones of what they say is our early ancestors. They reportedly managed to grow tiny brains about the size of a pea in Petri dishes inside labs. They say the next step is to link these caveman brains, Neanderthals, to robots using neural implants to try and create a kind of a Neanderthal cyborg.
Oh, my.
This, in turn, will allow them to find out what caused Neanderthals to go extinct, leaving Homo sapiens to colonize the Earth. Okay, despite the fact that Neanderthals walked the Earth, and they say over 40,000 years ago, but I can prove it can be proved different, modern scientists are still learning new things about them thanks to the advances in technology. It takes several months to grow a Neanderthal DNA stem cells into tiny brains. Now, that's wrong in the first place. You know, if you created a human brain from scratch, it's still a brain, and it's just not something you should do. Do you think?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, tiny brains called orphanids. Anyway, once finished, they come out in a strange popcorn shape compared to the normal human brain. Orphanids. Yeah. Okay, the team are planning to wire them up to crab-like robots to see how the two compare with each other. Ultimately, we want to compare Neanderthal
orphanoids
to test the ability to learn, but to test it, see, so they're also going to make human brains. So here's what kind of – can you see any kind of a problem there?
Yeah.
If they give something a brain that can think and reason – and they put it, it starts, you know, they always start, well, oh, that worked good with this little robot crab. They'll put it someplace else. You understand?
Yeah, they always test it on the animals first.
Well, right, but here they're bringing back,
they're bringing back the abomination.
The DNA of the fallen ones. And so, even if it, let's just take that completely out of the picture. Even if it wasn't the DNA of fallen ones, let's say it was some kind of weird human being or whatever, still not kosher.
Why would they want to recreate it?
Well, you know, first off, they don't think the way that we're thinking. The scientists are generally are divorced.
Mad.
Yeah, I guess you could go along with that. There are some Christian people that are scientists, not the Christian science religion, but there are some saved individuals that are scientists, and they're not, you know, completely nuts. At least I hope they're not. But the point is it's just it's an explosion. So here's a problem. Let's go with the brain part. The brain part is the thinking part of a human being, you know, that the Father gives us. So that's a man trying to create life. And all life is created by Yahweh. You know, it's an abomination. It's an abomination for human beings to create life. I'm sorry. Anybody can disagree with me if you want, but it's just not cool that's the thinking part of it. That's where, you know, it's just,
abomination.
It's an abomination. So, but going on these paths, you know, these souls of the original Nephilim, you know, they're not destructible. That's what turned in. You wonder what demons are. A lot of people don't even understand what a demon is. A demon is the spirit of a fall, of not the fallen angel, but it's because the fallen angels are still chained up down in the earth. You know, they're chained up waiting for the day of judgment. But the spirit of these half-breed things, you know, are what turns into demons. You know, when they were killed, they were disembodied. That's what the demonic things are. Sometimes the demonic things are completely fallen angels, and some of them are just their offspring spirits. And that's what a lot of people think. You can go back and forth with it. A lot say it is, and a lot say it isn't. But I venture on the side of saying that's what it is. So here's the point. You have, even if these, let's say these brains were perfectly okay, well, you know, in a sense, they're a thinking, moving thing. And they have to be, you know, Yahweh didn't put any kind of spirit in them, and so they would be spiritless. Wouldn't that leave just an opening for these demonic things to come in and...
Well, if they're Neanderthals, they're already demonic, right?
Well, they're...
What's come in, they're created already.
Right, but even...
Abominable.
Right, they're already created abominable, but we're getting an also abominable spirit in it. It's just like, you know, you're a creation. Your creation, you have a brain, but you also have a spirit placed there by Yahweh.
Right.
So, anyway, folks, as you can tell, I'm on here with my wife, trying to have her on about 3 times a month, as much as possible. I enjoy talking to her, apparently you do. So, go over and check us out at WichitaHomeless.com, but you can also find everything at ProphecyHour.com, ProphecyHour.com. And, hey, we'll come back and talk some more. And how long?
3 minutes.
Wow, good point. She's getting better at this, though. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. By the way, Mom, Linda, my wife, tell them hello. I never allowed you to do that first in the program.
Oh, hello, people.
Hello, people, just like that. Okay. Are you glad to be here or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So why have you under the mic? Just so then you enjoy doing this program with your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Now that we have that clear, we have her on. Now you've told the world that, so, you know, that there's a lot more than 2 witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, having said that, okay, you know, in the last weeks, we're going to cover this part real quickly. We've been talking about as in the days of Noah, you know, time on the earth, that Yeshua would come back. But, you know, in previous weeks, we've been talking a lot about, remember the library deal about the gay people dressing up and, you know, transvestites and coming in and teaching the children? Well, you know, that was just at the West Coast and, you know, starting to be on the East Coast, but it's expanded. So I'll read a little bit of this and we've got some stuff to talk about it. Anyway, drag queen for children agenda invades small town USA. It's already been held in left-wing enclaves such as Long Beach and St. Paul that it's infiltrated into children's televised program. Now, that's St. Paul, Minnesota. That's where we read about last time. Now it's making a move into small town in USA. And by the way, this is from a World Net Daily article. Pelosi, Beloit, Wisconsin, would qualify with some 36,000 people. It's 17 square miles and a town website with a with construction updates and the upcoming city council agenda. Anyway, the big issue for the next meeting is a drag queen story time announced by the local library. The plan has generated a wide range of comments, and now a lawyer has written to the library on behalf of five people, including residents, property owners, and others, asking just what the heck library officials are thinking. The event is scheduled for Wednesday night. The facts scream out that drag queen storytime telling is provocative, shocking, and offensive to many people, wrote the lawyer. After being contacted by a number of residents about the issue, he wrote to Nick, the city's library directory, the director, the people who complained and authorized the use of their names, but the lawyer decided not to do that because of the small town nature of Beloit. And we know that from a small town. You know, once your name gets out there, I mean, you're massacred. It's not like a big city. You can move the other part of town and, you know, whatever. When you live in a small town, everybody's business is everybody's. Anyway, they believe it's inappropriate for the Beloit Library to use taxpayer dollars to sponsor a reading program for six-year-old children under involving the library partnering with the Yellow Brick Road. Now, that's an LGBT activist organization that's been doing these readings. They said the program involved a drag queen conducting the program involving both the reading of books and controlling the dialogue and presentations, the letter said. Donahue cited an online report that the library officials didn't see anything too shocking at the programming. Really? Where is their head at? To say that it's too shocking? I mean, let's go with this. If you just put a woman up there in the clothing, and I said this before, Maria, if you just put a woman in that kind of clothing and put it in front of a young child, it's provocative, let alone a man.
Right.
You know, but they're trying to bring it to think that it's normal. It is not normal, let alone when you put that kind of brain influence in on a young child, it can cause them to become transgender or whatever just because it mixes it up.
Yeah, that man did it, so I'm gonna wear a dress to school, Mom.
Yeah, that looks
really
cool. You know, and that's the point. Anyway, I'm perplexed that you said it was obviously too provocative because you're getting dozens of phone calls complaining about it. You and your staff have given interviews. News outlets are covering it, and you issued a public statement. I would venture a guess that you have not issued a public statement before about a particular six-year-old that underwent and under the reading program, the letter said. Library officials contacted by WorldNet Daily declined to respond to questions. Did you consider that there may be a fair amount of people who do not believe a man dressing as a woman is funny, appropriate, or entertaining, the letter asked? Did you ever realize and consider that they were making that request of these young children? And Donahue, that's the attorney, asked the library about the program, how would it look to Bible-believing Christian or a Quran-believing Muslim? Now, you know, I don't agree with Muslims at all. We're going to get into that. But Muslims, in their country, they execute gay people. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, so it would be provocative to a Muslim also is what they're pointing out. Maybe my clients and I are just old buddy-duddies, but I am bordering on the absurd that a reading program for children six and under would require warning signs as a he said. Many people believe that libraries are supposed to be a safe place. Parents can take their children to read and grow in their knowledge and not have their children propagandized about controversial issues. And so that is what they're doing. That's propaganda. They're feeding it into your children as youth to make them feel that it's all right. You know, Hitler even said, give me generation of youth, I'll rule the world. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, because they can brainwash them young and they'll grow into it and they'll be that way for life.
Well, and the same goes with politics. Now, it used to be they really didn't mention, you know, they didn't mention differences in politics in school other than to do it under a proper curriculum. You know what I'm saying? But now teachers are
trying to sway the kids into what they believe.
Yeah, they're getting in trouble for wearing quote shirts and other things and being demeaned and belittled.
Well, my little, he would have been 10 last year, and then two years ago, he would have been 9, and his school teacher told him that they needed to vote for Hillary because Trump was a bad person. Now, what kind of teacher can tell a child that? They had that whole class against Trump and voting for Hillary.
Yeah, and that's garbage. But they're indoctrinizing with youth. Now, part of the curriculums and things that they have been getting, it comes from this Common Core thing that they're getting rid of, thanks to Trump. But the point is they allow them to do that, and a lot of it is pushed by the government and by these other programs and unions, promote liberal ideas. And so the unions, the teachers' unions, are able to control what the teachers put out to a certain extent. In other words, they can stop what they consider good content. But now, because the Supreme Court told us if you joined, like say if you became a teacher, you automatically, no matter what you thought, had to pay so much a month to union dues, even though you didn't want to be part of the union. You were automatically part of the union unless you found a way to opt out, and then you still had to pay union dues. Well, the Supreme Court said that was unconstitutional.
Well, it is unconstitutional.
Right. We shouldn't be forced to give money to something we don't believe in.
That's as bad as the insurance scam they had. Buy the insurance you can't even use. Pay $1,500 a month, and then you can't even go to the doctor because you spent all your money on insurance and it doesn't cover your doctor's call.
Right. Absolutely. And so, but the Supreme Court struck it down and said that now, and unions are crying over it, and so is the left. Because now, then, teachers' unions will not be able to use that kind of influence on the teachers. They can start thinking for themselves again. I'm not down on teachers. I believe there's a lot of good teachers out there, in fact, talking about small town USA, Marion School up there, the biggest problem I had with them was just because they didn't understand about our peace, because they pushed Christian holidays. In grade school, I remember them allowing people to come to the school and giving out Bibles, And so small town USA isn't as bad as, major cities. But as this shows you,
targeting the little town, the small town.
Yeah, the left knows that. And so they're trying to filter out into whatever small town or directors that they can get to go along with it to corrupt the children and the way of thought. So, first off, I always say, folks, if you live in a big city, I don't know why you're there, but if you have to be there because of work or something, you might consider homeschooling your children or at least check on the curriculum. There's several options. If it's a better option, if you can drive an hour to your work, there's lots of small towns that are a lot better than the environment that you'll get in a big city, let alone the craziness. You feel safe in a big city?
Not really, no.
Why not?
There's too many crazy people.
Well, are they getting crazier?
People getting sued. Here's one for you. I went last Tuesday, I think it was. I was on my way to the mission in KFDI. There was an 80-some-year-old woman who got up in the morning and heard her shower running. And she's like, oh, who's in the door? Was like, who's in there? And a man replied and said, I'm taking a shower. Leave me alone. She says, well, I'm calling 911. It was a homeless man that came into her house just to take a shower. And the cops got there before he got out of the bathroom. But, hello, people, you can't just come in somebody's house because you want to.
Right. And look at the level of hate and anger in people, it's just uncontrolled. People are getting uncontrollable. The norms, look, let's go with this. Used to be, we put what we called a moral compass in our children. We taught them to respect elders and respect each other and so on and so forth.
That's not there anymore.
No, and it's being promoted right there on TV. I mean, you hear every foul language that you can believe on TV, which wouldn't even used to be acceptable.
Oh, and underwear. They wouldn't even allow underwear commercials back in the day when I was growing up. There was not the right thing to do. Now they have men and women all prance around on TV in their underwear. And
or naked.
Or naked, yeah, that's just terrible.
Yeah, it's clearly not supposed to be that way, but you see, when you take God out of things, and you, it goes back to the same thing I told you before, when the church shut their mouth about the 501(c) and they quit talking and wouldn't talk unless they were politically correct. So when you silence the church, every abominable thing in the world pop up because
and
there's nobody
surfaced.
Nobody to speak against it.
Right. And the ones that do speak against it are unheard.
Right, are unheard. And, and it may be not that way in your church. I pray so. In fact, I'm not an advocate. I'm not come on here trying to tell people to come and get away from their church. First thing I want you to do is try to be a witness to your church and the people around you, you know. And if you have to split from your church because of that, then so be it. But you need to be a witness to your church because you're there for a reason in the first place.
So what the community should do in a situation like that is all come together and boycott the library. Don't send none of your kids there. Just don't let nobody show up for the event.
Or, you know, let's go with this. I have a better thing. That town, we're talking about a town of 3,600 people. How about the next time that there's a run for office, get off your, you know,
and vote that person in charge of the library out of the library.
Well, the library person is usually an appointed person, so that means your city council. You need to get the right people on your city council.
Be careful who you vote for. You vote the wrong ones in like Florence did.
And we don't talk about our hometown in the sense of I don't,
okay,
you know.
Well,
just meaning there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't,
yeah,
you know. And which is okay, people, because there's so many crazy people out there. Yeah, you can figure out what I'm at, but I'd rather not go there anyway because the people are crazy. So moving right along. So, yeah, you need to get involved. You need to speak up and speak out against these things because being silent, this is what happens just like this. And then we'll talk about the mission church in a little bit. This is another article. Schools fail to dismiss challenge to Islam indoctrination. Educators collude with Muslims to jeopardize our national security. This is also from World Net Daily. A school district in New Jersey has indoctrinated children in Islamic faith, teaching beliefs as facts, and has failed to dismiss a lawsuit with a judge ruling the motion wasn't worth more than minimal discussion. U.S. District Court Judge Kevin McNutty denied a motion June 21st to dismiss an establishment cause claimed by Libby, whatever her name is, Hillsrath, against the Catham School District and various district employees. The ruling comes with no surprise. The motion dismissed was a further attempt by the school district to bully and silence the lady. Well, what it boils down to, they are inside the school, and this has been going on nationwide ever since Obama came into office, that they are teaching children how to give the proclamation of faith to Allah and saying that Islam and Allah is the best religion and he's the only God. They are literally, while these same liberals will scream, well, there's no such thing as you're not supposed to have church in the school, but yet they're teaching their faith in the faith that they want in the school because it's an anti-Christian. They don't even realize what they're asking for because if these liberals had to live in a Muslim country, they probably wouldn't be alive. They'd be screaming to get out if they could even do that. But the point is they've been trying to indoctrinate children with it because the left believes that anything that's against Christianity, they're buddies with to try to get rid of Christianity, you know. And so, you know, it shouldn't be taught in the school, but then this is another case. So you have a liberal judge. Thank goodness, you know, we have President Trump who is putting in a lot of different federal judges across the country. You know, while we just hear about the Supreme Court, a lot of people don't realize there are a lot of federal judges, And these federal judges are being put in, are now not liberal judges, but are, let's see. Well, wait a minute here. Frank's saying something. I want everyone to know where I stand on issues with a small town or not. Okay, I'll give you about 3 minutes if you're listening, Frank. I don't think he's listening to us. anyway, I wonder where we'll find out where Frank stands on it. But anyway, this is also something that shouldn't be touched. We can teach. Now, you know what? When I was a kid, they did teach us about different religions, but they didn't make us do the proclamations of faith or learn how to get on the floor and pray to Allah and all that.
And how can they do that when they don't even allow prayer to God in the school? What is wrong with people?
Because it's anti-Christian.
See, they're praying to Allah. It's
it doesn't matter to them. The left, you know, the left is supposed to be the religion, or it's supposed to be the people of tolerance, but they're only tolerant of things they believe in. They are, basically the left means anti-Christian. And so they'll scream at you that you're not supposed to teach that in school. But, in the same light, while they say that they don't, it doesn't matter. If what they teach in the schools is anti-God, they're not even teaching them things. They're teaching them things about LGBTQ, and they're worried about showing them pornographic studies on homosexuality and how to have sex and telling them and all these things rather than teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, real history, and, I mean, civics, things like that. They're not teaching it. They want to dumb them down, and they want to indoctrinate them, because if they can get the children, they can take over the country.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we're going to be getting old or whatever going out, you know, but I think the father, you know, the son will be back before then. But if we're not, it's going into the hands of these children. If these children are indoctrinated, they win. You know, they win. We've been given a chance with Trump. So that's kind of where we're at. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, so, and we never heard anything out of Frank, so we'll go on and talk about the Mission Church. So, what did you serve for dinner the other day?
Let me think. What did I serve? Oh, we just had hot dogs and barbecue potato chips and donuts. This is so hot.
Oh, you did? Well, that was probably, they like it when we have hot dogs. Usually, now we take care of the homeless and poor, but usually when we have things like hot dogs or beer rocks or things, those simple kind of like junk food stuff, then it usually everybody in the neighborhood shows up.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we did 47, I think, is what we did. And usually when it's really hot like that, a lot of people don't come because it's too hot to get. They get into a nice, cool, shady place, and they stay there.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And mind you, they're also getting, you know, eggs or...
Or they'll come down and get an egg sandwich and then split. They won't even stay for a movie. They'll just get something cold to drink, get an egg sandwich, and leave. It's too hot.
Right. Yeah. And it is being really, really hot. And so...
got up to 107 yesterday.
You did?
That's what the thing said on the house.
I stayed inside most of the day yesterday. I didn't get out much. But let's go with this. So, Wichita Mission Church, you know, we've been doing it. This is we're in our 19th year now.
Yeah, June 13th.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how are you doing? You pay the bills over there? Cause folks, you folks that donate are how the bills are paid, but she's the one that takes the money that you mail in and pay the bills.
And this month, all the bills more than doubled because of the heat, especially the electric bill.
Especially what?
The electric bill. Because of the air conditioners. And the church is more than double because they run in and out, in and out, in and out. So the air conditioner works twice as hard.
Right.
With the heat coming in the door and out the door. When everybody's gone and you shut the door to clean, it starts cooling down.
Yeah.
Until then, that's why I try not to use the oven when it's this hot. I try to do something simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, in fact, and we're in a building. I had a few years back, I said, well, why are you using air conditioning? Well, first off, we don't have any windows.
We're in a solid brick stone building. Is it a brick? Is it concrete?
It's brick and concrete. But, yeah, there's the point. And brick and block.
In a really, really bad neighborhood. So I'm glad there's no windows.
Right. That's what I was going to say. We couldn't exist there. We'd have a hard time existing there if we had windows because they'd be broken into.
Just like when we first moved in, there was a real heavy-duty glass door on the front, but somebody tried to break in. So.
No, they didn't try and break in. They broke the glass open.
Oh, and they stole the generator. That's before we even moved. Yeah, that is what happened.
Yeah.
You guys was in there remodeling, and you had to get a generator to string lights because there wasn't no electricity, and somebody broke that glass door out and stole the generator and some of the tools. So then we put, what is that, metal? Is that a metal front?
My son, your wonderful son, Daniel, my son, my oldest.
I know it's custom made. There ain't no way breaking
yeah,
in it.
It's a quarter inch aluminum plating, and it's
very, riveted.
Yeah, it's very solid. You're not going to get
yeah, they're
that.
Not
You're
getting
not
that. You can
that.
Tell where somebody's trying. And I think that might be why the lock's kind of messed up, because you can tell where somebody tried to pry that lock.
Oh,
that
well,
door,
they tried to pry the door open here a while back,
yeah.
and Kevin caught it, and he replaced some of the stuff on it, the caulking, so by the time we got there, you didn't see it.
So, but anyways, it's pretty solid. You can't break into it, but it's also, in the winter, it takes more to cool it, or heat it, and in the summer, it takes more to cool it.
Right.
Because of the traffic, and there's no way around that, because we serve the people.
Right. So, folks, we really do, you know, in summertime, donations always go down. I think, and I'm not condemning anybody for that, because they go on vacations or whatever, and there's more summertime expenses. But point is we really do need your help. You know, Messiah's Branch, we don't have some huge, gigantic congregation that can pay for everything. And so we need help to pay for the bills. You can mail a check or money order, or you can donate online. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com. But remember, folks, also radio. Now, you're listening to radio, and again, radio, I don't sell anything. And so the only way that I get donations, can pay for airtime, which I haven't paid this month, I still owe the radio station, American Voice Radio. Frank hasn't got his money. I still owe that. And if, you know, I have to pay that.
The new month starts on Sunday, I think. Sunday's July
1st. Yeah, yeah, that's the point. Sunday's July 1st, so then, you know, it's going to double. And he really does need his money to pay the bills so the station can stay on the air.
Like I tell my kids, if you don't pay your bills on time, it causes the person that you owe problems, because they need to pay their bills on time. And if you don't pay them, they can't pay them, and it's just a trickle-down effect. So you need to really try and pay your bills, which is hard to do when you don't have money to pay them.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, that's great. So, folks, again, you can mail a check or money order, and you can find the address at prophecyhour.com. You can donate online. You can actually call me on the telephone, and I can take your donation over the telephone by a credit card. I can also do that. So, you know, there's many ways to donate, and if, like I say, if you don't want to donate to the homeless and poor, you're listening to radio. Some of you have been listening for many, many years. And, you know, while you think, well, radio is free, it's not free to us, because we have to pay for airtime. We also have to pay the electricity of the place that we're sitting in. We have to pay for the electricity for
the internet, all that goes with it.
Right. All of it goes with it. There's so many expenses. And not only
you have, and by the way, while I got a few seconds, the internet modem is not working really well. It's wearing out, so we need a new modem.
Well, thank you.
For the internet, so we can do this radio. And I'm new, so you guys, come on, you got to pay for a new modem so I can be on here.
Boy, that sounds like a con job. but she is telling the truth. Last night, the modem went out, and I plugged it in and unplugged it, plugged it in and unplugged it, and it finally started working. It could go out right now. Technically.
No. Don't speak. Don't speak those words. No.
Anyway, you get the picture. So pray about supporting the Messiah's Branch, period. We got to go, though. But remember, there is – how many gods are there?
There's one God, one Yeshua, and one Holy Spirit. It's all one. So three in one.
Okay. Well, who is he to you?
He's my father.
He's your father. And he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is who?
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeshua HaMashiach, very good. You must have went to school or something. Anyway, he died for what? Why did he die?
In answer to that, no, I didn't go to school. I just said, Lord, reveal this Bible to me, and I read it cover to cover, and I had some hard times with it the first time, but I'm getting better. The Lord's still working on me.
Okay, I got to kind of close her out here, but yeah, she had a hard time when it come to that part about women wearing men's clothing, and we'll talk about that another day. But anyway, remember, his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a what to others?
Blessing to others.
A blessing to others. I mean, if you're saved, how can you not be? I mean, anyway. But I guess that human thing comes in sometimes. Anyway, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua to return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shabbat shalom, or just shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.